said turn my cell phone. How's everybody doing tonight? Everybody dry? Yeah. We certainly needed the rain. It was ripe for a storm. And of course, kids are out for summer break, and Kristen Bennett, she's been staying with us every night this week with Lily, and you know, staying up and sleeping in and all that good stuff you do when you're a kid. And I was wrapping up my studies, and they were upstairs primping, getting ready for church. And then all of a sudden, just a big old lightning bolt, boom. Of course, we have this little dash hound dog, Cooper. And whenever it's thunder and lightning, he needs his mama or daddy. He does. So I'm in the dining room is where I study at. And so he crawls up on the table, whimping and whining and all that kind of stuff. And it sounded like we had a little bit of hail. I'm not really sure if we did or not. But anyway, God knows what he's doing, and he has sent the rain. We appreciate that. Maybe it'll cool things off a little bit. And you walk outside, and it's an immediate, can't really breathe. Reminds me of Mississippi weather. But anyway, it's good to be here tonight. I hope everybody's doing good. And I just want to mention, first and foremost, the homegoing Miss Frances Carroll. Did everybody get the call post we sent out? Okay. If you didn't, or you know a church member, I think Brother Richard trying to get you on our call post. You didn't get a call post, did you? And so if you know of anybody that doesn't have a call post, let me know. Want to get them in there so that everybody can receive our updates. But she went home to be with the Lord and spoke with Brother Gerald several times since Monday. I believe it was Monday when she passed. And her services will be held tomorrow at the Davis Strump Funeral Home. Off of East West Connector, just past the soccer fields in Austell. Everybody pretty much here knows where that's at. 1 o'clock, visitation service will be at 2 there in the chapel. And Brother Gerald has asked Brother Snyder and myself to conduct that service. And so, of course, I'd be honored to help with that. And so we'll be doing that tomorrow. Just remember Brother Gerald and the family. I believe Miss Glenda has a part as well. I believe she's singing, and Brother David Barker will be playing the piano. So just remember that. I asked Brother Gerald, I said, Brother Gerald, refresh my memory, what exactly did Miss Frances have? And she said, he said Alzheimer's. And several I know have experience dealing with loved ones. And what we do, we just lean in, and we just bear one of those burdens during this time. That's what we do. That's what the church does. So let's remember Frances, Brother Gerald, again on tomorrow. I got word, a text message as we were coming in, and I'm taking a chance on this. They want to broadcast it or not. It's a normal thing in the day and time in which we live, but Brother Eddie Rich has COVID. Lee Ellen does. And so everybody else is at home, quarantined. And so, with that said, it's a part of our life, and it's going to be just use precautions. Don't go in hiding mode for 6 months, you know. Judge according to how you feel. And we are remembering them and pray that it will just pass through them. It would be over with. So remember you guys tonight. I know you're watching, and we miss you already. All right, Brother Randy Maddox, as you know, Sunday night, he got a bit emotional when he was singing his song. He had some blood work. He was kind of anxious about that. Came back clear, and so praise the Lord for that. Of course, the doctor gave him some work to do. But the scary blood work came back normal. Brother David Barker, he had blood work as well. It looks like he has a sinus infection that's clearing up, but also he is confirmed a diabetic. So he's getting started on medication, glucose daily testing, and again, the whole health diet aspect. I told him, he texted me and told me that. I said, well, brother, you're not alone. I said, we're battling it with you. And so, but remember him. You know, I'm sure that's a going from not having to do that to doing it every day and checking your blood sugar. I know that's going to be something new and probably difficult until he gets used to it. So let's remember him. Also, continue to remember Brother Dion. Those that were here Sunday morning know that he asked to say a few words. He had an unspoken prayer request, and so let's just continue to remember that situation when we pray. I feel like it's some good news, though. I feel like some good news is going to come his way. Also, Miss Shauna, those that I believe about everybody was here Sunday night, exception of a couple. Miss Shauna Bendy had a fall out here. Sidewalk as it goes down. Actually, Brother Dion, I guess a few years ago, installed that white handrail. But she fell. She said she went to take that step thinking it was flat ground, and it was a step. So you can imagine it was just a tumble. I believe she face planted, and she laid there. We called the ambulance, the fire. Brother Randy did, the fire trucks. They came, took her to the hospital. Scrapes and bruises, no broken bones. Praise the Lord for that. But saying that, she's back in the hospital today. Just want to have a special prayer for her tonight. Not really sure what's going on. And again, for the person that is dealing with it, they're aggravated. You know, they want to know. But also, I'm sure there's a part of them that's probably thinking what everybody else is thinking. You know, wonder what everybody's thinking about me. And so let's just continue to do what we've been doing, and encouraging her, and asking the Lord to really pinpoint what's going on so they can get her better, and Brother Michael can get rested from going to the hospital so much and then having to work all day. But if you guys are watching, love you, praying for you. Dolores and Leonard Palmer sent her a message last night. It's kind of late. Sent out a couple messages and hadn't heard back, but they have some medical testing, I believe it is, coming up. And I told her Sunday, we are definitely faithfully praying for you and Leonard. And I know he wants that eye to fully open. So let's remember Brother Leonard, Miss Dolores. Harold Dolph is a little better. I told him, I said, you've got to get better by Sunday because we're having pies for the guys. And he says, feeling better already. Feeling better already. And so anyway, remember him. And then let's remember Miss Glenda's nephews with the heart attacks. Any word on?
He went home yesterday afternoon. They had put two stents in. But once again, they told him they
Yeah. Absolutely. How old are your nephews?
Shane, the oldest one, is 46, and Chad is 42.
Okay.
Too young to be having to deal with that kind of stuff.
Absolutely. Well, let's remember them in our prayers. Also, a special prayer request from the Hendersons, Pastor Johnny Watson. You know Johnny Watson from Floyd Road? Or is he pastoring right now, brother? Used to pastor. I remember Brother Johnny. I know we were talking about it from Floyd Road days, and he has cancer, and I was told that he may be watching tonight. So Pastor Johnny, we're praying for you tonight, you and your wife, lifting you up in prayer. And so let's remember them. Also upcoming this Sunday is Father's Day. And so we'll have our Father's Day Sunday morning service. And then we will omit the Sunday night just for you to spend time with your family and just some close family time on Father's Day. And then the following Sunday, that night will be our fellowship down in the fellowship hall. Our devotion and dinner is what we're calling it. So a lot of things going on. Looking ahead a little bit over in July, we're going to have a one-day vacation Bible school. I know several have asked about that. And we just feel like this year, just do everything in one day. And so we'll get out some dates. We'll talk, discuss, and get that rolling pretty fast. All right. Does anybody have a request or praise update? Brother Don? Really? We'll get that thing paid. Ask this. So is it turned on or?
Oh,
glad you said that. We'll take care of it. That's absolutely right. Well, thank you, Brother Don, for taking that initiative on that. Absolutely. And like my mother's name. Medication situation. Anyone else? She did. Glad she did. Let's again just remember the Bendys tonight and what they're going through. Anyone else? All right. Well, let's have a time of prayer together. All that feel led or able, you can meet us in the altar, or you can pray right where you're at. We'll just lift these requests up. And Bro Jeff has a song, and then we'll bring the lesson to. turn into a towel. Well, especially with the monsoon that got us. But anyway, shed the coat. I wonder if anybody tonight has proved Jesus over and over again. I know that typically whenever I try to figure something out and I try to conquer something and I drive myself crazy doing it, it wears on me, it stresses me, but every time I roll it on the Lord, every time He works it out. He works it out every time. And how hard it is, though, to do it every time, to cast our cares upon Him. I'm going to inch my way up just a little. All right. We're going to be in Galatians chapter number 2 tonight. Galatians 2. For some reason, I'm in Lamentations. Galatians chapter number 2. I want to look at one particular verse, verse number 20. This particular verse was a tremendous help to me this week, and it's found a lodging place in my heart. So tonight I want to try to just speak on this verse and try not to sound too monotone. It's raining outside, and we could easily drift off and fall asleep, including me, the one speaking. But anyway, I do want to bow for a word of prayer, and then we're going to read Galatians 2:20. Father, we love You tonight. We thank You. We praise You for who You are and for what You do. Lord, the times that we feel strong in faith is because You brought us there. And we learn from Scripture that we're to go from faith to faith, grace to grace. We're always constantly reminded that the Christian journey is indeed just that. It is one step at a time, trusting You. So tonight I pray for just a few moments You would use the lesson to be a blessing to Your people and those watching on Facebook. And by the time we leave, I pray that we would all be encouraged, that we would be challenged. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Galatians chapter number 2, verse number 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which, focus on these next few words, in the life which I now live, in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. And that's going to be our verse tonight. Just one verse. I believe that in this verse, Paul is speaking of identity and the Christian identity. It's been going on for years, Paul's day to our day. People have identity crisis. And I was thinking this afternoon that there may be someone, and we've had people in the family. Christy had an uncle. He passed away, but he was on the job for 40 years. He wasn't an old man. I don't think he was 60 yet, but he was just over 60. Anyway, his whole life was all about his company. He lived in Lexington, Kentucky. And day in, day out, weekends, business trips, everything was about his job. He was a Christian man, but he was a single man, no kids. And so one day they decided they're going to trim back, and they started off at the top. At the top. He had a top-notch position, and so they let him go. Man, did he struggle. He struggled a lot because for 40 years, nearly 40 years anyway, that was his identity. Now, he knew who he was in Christ, but for illustration's sake, woke up every day, went into the building, came home, business trips. And so now this job being totally cut from your life, his life, something was missing. And you can imagine, those have worked and retired. Something was missing. My grandmother, she drove a school bus in Cobb County for 40 years. And, I mean, she drove that bus in some rough places in Cobb County. When it was Patmel Road all the way down through Smyrna, Crescent Square. Does anybody remember Crescent Square on Austell Road? Back then, probably multiplied now, people would get shot sometimes on a weekly basis. A person pulled a gun on her one time. She didn't tell me till I was older, but she said, yeah, a young boy from Crescent Square pulled a gun on her. And so that was her job. I can remember growing up staying at my grandmother's house. Mom and Dad chose to travel around, and we wanted to stay where we could put some roots down and we can grow up. And so we stayed at our grandmother's house. And I can remember that bus pulling up. I was actually a high school dropout at this time. And I remember her pulling up in that school bus. I remember her leaving around 4 or 5 in the morning. But I remember those brakes squeaking. And I remembered I was still in the bed. And I remembered I had to get up and do something or she was going to be on my business. And I just remember those brakes squeaking. And right about the time I got saved in 02, I remember specifically those school bus brakes squeaking and having a hangover from the night before of drinking and partying. I mean, it was the worst case scenario, but at the same time, God used that to save me. But all of a sudden, she retired. And the moment she retired, her health started going downhill. And she is struggling with her health because of the lack of routine. And so that was her identity for so many years. And people in our day, they're having identity crisis. As you know, the transgender and all of that, the lesbianism and the gay pride and all of that. And listen, we're not casting no stones. Sin is sin. I know some are abomination to the Lord. Sodom and Gomorrah was brought down because of that. But just be thankful that's not our sin we're struggling with. A lot of people try to, and listen, I'm not taking up for them. What I am doing, I'm putting us all on the same ground that we're all sinners in need of salvation. But there's that identity struggle. And so Paul tonight, he talks about being crucified with Christ. He talks about living this new life. He says again that those three words in the center of this verse, the life which I now live. And so he begins to talk about that in this one little verse, verse number 20, dealing with identity. And so the title tonight is just simply Paul's Identity. Paul's Identity. I will say this is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. One of my favorite verses in the New Testament. I'm like you, got my favorite New Testament verses, my favorite Old Testament verses. One day I was going in the grocery store and a man was walking toward me. He had on a gray shirt and big orange letters that said, Dead Man Walking. And I said, okay, this is strange. Either that shirt is talking about death row or there's something to it. And so he spun around and he checked out at the register. And on the back it said Galatians 2:20. I am crucified, and it had the verse, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. And so literally, those of us that are saved, assuming that we're all saved in here tonight, we are dead people walking. We are dead to the old self. Although that old self we still have attached to us and tries to kick and pull and scream and prime. But he's dead. She's dead for you women. But we carry them around. We carry those bodies around, those invisible weights around until our bodies are redeemed one day. And again, they cause us problems and they cause us a great deal of trouble at times if we're not careful. But Paul says, I'm not what I used to be. I'm different. And so he begins to talk about his identity. And I will say this before we get into the lesson, that this one verse can totally liberate a Christian that whose flame is kind of dwindling, getting ready to go out, won't fully go out because of the Lord, keeping it lit. But for the Christian who life is mundane and you're struggling with your old self, you're struggling with sin and the potential to sin, this verse can totally liberate. So let's just try to look at it tonight for a brief moment, just with fresh eyes, and then we'll go home. In this verse, Paul tells us some things about his identity in Christ. So here's just a few. Number one, Paul tells us whose he is. He tells us whose he is. Paul says he now belongs to the Lord. He's his. And this whole verse, in a nutshell, is talking about that. How that Paul doesn't belong to Paul anymore, but Paul belongs to Jesus. So he's his. And Paul tells us in these wonderful words how that he belongs to Jesus now, doesn't belong to himself. You know the story. We won't reiterate, but it is Bible and it is Scripture. Paul on the road to Damascus, letters of consent, even consenting to the death of the stoning of Stephen. And he was a very vicious man, vile man, injurious man. And that how that one particular day he was knocked down. He seen a light. He heard a voice. It was Jesus. And from that point on, he served the Lord. And so we take that as of that was his salvation experience. If you go back and read that, it says, Lord, Paul speaking, Lord, what will thou have me to do? And that L is capitalized. And so he is calling him his Lord, his master. And so we know that Paul was different. And so here in Galatians 2:20, he tells us that. He says, I'm not the same anymore. I was going towards life this way, a very vicious and vile man. But one day, everything changed. I seen the light. I heard a voice, and it was Jesus. And the scriptures about his salvation experience, it continues out and it says, Jesus tells Paul, kind of hard for you to kick against the pricks. Meaning the life that Paul was living was a life that he wasn't moving forward in. It wasn't a life that was where he found contentment. It wasn't a life where he had great gain, so to speak. It was just hard for him to get one over on the Lord. And so, make a long story short, we have Paul that's saved now. And 2 Corinthians 5:17, you don't have to turn there, I'll just give it to you. Therefore, Paul speaking, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And so even there, he's talking about whose he is. He said, that old me is gone. It's been crucified. Turn, if you would, over to Philippians 3. I'll have you turn there for a moment. Paul continues to talk about whose he is. And again, don't forget we're talking about identity here. And I promise we're going somewhere with this. And we'll try to button it up soon. Philippians chapter number 3. Look at verse number 7. He says, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and account all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. We'll stop there in verse 10. And so we see this new man. So what happened to him? How did this happen? How did he go from murdering to being a messenger? It all happened because he met Jesus in the new birth. And so we have Paul trying to talk about, trying to pin down his new identity. He says, my identity is in Jesus. Paul's identity tonight was not in possessions. I just read the verses to you here. He says in verse 7, but what things were gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ. His identity wasn't in possessions anymore. Maybe at one time they were. But he says, I counted all of that but for loss. And so his new identity was not found in possessions, wasn't found in education. A lot of people's identity is wrapped up in education and how many degrees they have. And nothing's wrong with getting degrees in education. But it's not your identity. It's not who you are. God has created everybody to be a worshiper of Him, and that's who everyone should be. And so education, possessions, or even ego was not Paul's new identity. It was the old identity. And so Paul's new identity was not found in these things, but it was found only in Jesus Christ. Turn, if you would, to Revelation chapter number 2. I love this here. I've mentioned it before. But it really, really speaks on identity here. Revelation chapter number 2, verse number 9. Verse 8, then 9. I do that every time. The church of Smyrna, verse number 8, speaking about identity. And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. Listen to this. I know thy works and tribulation and poverty. Poverty. But then in parentheses he says, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. You say, Brother Justin, what is that saying about identity in verse number 9? Well, this is at least one take on it. This was a poor church, but that did not identify who they were on the inside. What they had, whether it was a lot or little, it did not show who they were. And the same for today. Those that trust Jesus as their Savior, doesn't matter if you're poor living under a bridge, doesn't matter if you're rich in a king's palace somewhere, if you're saved, your identity is in Jesus. And so he allows the writer here, John, to pen these words to really encourage this church of Smyrna. No doubt there were probably other churches, and there are listed in Revelation 2 and 3. And some were rich, but this one was poor. And I don't know if you know the feeling. I'm sure you do know the feeling. So you pull up at a red light, and, you know, you got a used car, and then someone else pulls up at a red light with like a $100,000 vehicle, you know. It may not be you, but sometimes I kind of feel like, well, you know, maybe they're not thinking they're better than anybody, but there's just a feeling of superiority. But you know what? In God's economy, that don't mean anything. You can have all the world's goods. You can be increased with goods. You can have riches on the outside, but be bankrupt on the inside. Outside versus inside. And so he says to the church of Smyrna here, he says, I know your works, I know your tribulation, your poverty, but you're rich. Don't forget where your identity is. And Jesus, he was born in a palace, wasn't he? He was born in a manger. He was born in a manger. He could have been born anywhere he wanted to be born. But I believe part of that being born in the manger not only was prophecy, but it was to identify with the poor. Although being poor, yet made rich in Jesus. Identity. All right, back over to Galatians 2:20. So our text tonight speaks of whose Paul is. And of course, as I said a moment ago, if we're saved tonight, doesn't matter if we're rich or poor, what part of the world we were born in, If Jesus is our Savior, He is our identity. Let the jobs be lost. Let the cars die out. Let the health insurance go away. Don't, but if it does, and my family and yours is huddled up here in the church, we're nowhere to go. We are just as wealthy, just as rich as if we had everything, because Jesus is our source. He's our identity. If we belong to Christ, again, we have everything. We have, it's in Him is our peace, not in a house, not in a car, not in a vacation. He's our joy. He's our contentment. He is our eternal life. He is our helper. He is our shepherd. And so what does it really matter if we're abounding or if we're suffering in need? Didn't Paul say he learned how to do that? He said, I both learned how to have plenty and to suffer need. I've learned in any situation to be content, because he knew that Jesus was his identity. And though he may be walking in rags, reaching his pocket to get a coin, and all he feels is his leg, Jesus is his shepherd. Jesus is his Savior. And so, therefore, there is not no struggle there. All right. You've seen the commercial. It's an older commercial now, but it's has a certain pose here. Going out to dinner, $100. Taking your wife to the movie, you know, whatever dollars. Taking your daughter to get ice cream, priceless. You know, it's that kind of thing. And so, really, Jesus is priceless. He has everything that we've ever needed. The problem is, a lot of Christians try to straddle the fence, try to graze from both sides of the fence of the green pastures. Someone said one time, don't be looking too far over there, over the fence at that grass, that green grass. It might be artificial turf. And how true that is tonight. So tonight we need to just find out more about Jesus, learn more about Him, get anchored in Him, because He is our identity. And so Paul tonight talks about whose He is. He's the Lord's. Number two, he talks about what He is. What He is. Now, look at verse number 20, that first phrase. He says, I am crucified with Christ. So number one, he says whose he is. I'm Jesus's. I belong to Christ. And now he says what he is. What is he? He's crucified. Paul is now crucified with Christ. What does that mean, Brother Justin, to be crucified? Well, that means that who Paul was, his desires, his inclinations, all of that, everything that Paul used to be, the moment he got saved, was crucified. And there was also not only a crucifixion, but a resurrection. And so now there's this new Paul, and he's going after God, and he's preaching the gospel. All these other things have passed away. That old Paul, when he got knocked down that road to Damascus and seen the light and heard God's voice and responded to Him in salvation, that day everything was crucified of who he used to be. Now, let me say this. There are many cults and religions that require you to be a physical sacrifice to be accepted with their God. But the result of that is physical death and eternity in hell. We won't even go into 9/11 and the suicide, what were they, bombers in the planes. We won't go into that, but from what I hear and what I know, it was all for, of course, Muhammad ultimately, but it was jihad, what they call that, holy war or something like that. And they feel like they were doing a service to their God and that they would inherit eternal life with their God. Well, that didn't work. According to the Bible, they're in hell. And so there are many cults and religions out there that require you to be that physical sacrifice in order to be accepted. But with Jesus, He did the dying for us, as you already know. And the only requirement is accepting what's been done. And the result is physical life now and eternal life later. What a blessing that is. Again, we're talking about identity. And Paul says that I got saved. My life is different. I've changed. I'm not the man that I used to be. I'm going in a new direction. And it's all because I've been crucified. The old Paul is gone. Now, like I said earlier in the beginning of the message, that doesn't mean that the flesh won't kick up and try to give Paul problems. And he spoke about that many, many times. He talks about in 1 Corinthians, I believe it is, chapter number 9, he talks about buffeting himself and blackening his eye. That's what that means. To buffet means to blacken the eye. He says, I got to keep my body in subjection. He says, because there's a strong possibility that while I'm preaching the gospel and after I preach the gospel, I may fall at the gospel I preach to. I may disgrace the name of my God and he may put me on a shelf. He doesn't want to be a castaway, put on the shelf. So there's definitely the battle there. Romans chapter number 7 toward the end as well. Paul talks about that battle. Whenever he would go to do good, evil would be present with him. And there's a struggle in the flesh. And so, what is he? He's crucified. Paul says, my old life, actions, sins have been crucified, put to death. He says, I have a new beginning, a new life, new direction, new desires. And that all came from the new birth. Let me ask everybody a question tonight. When a baby's born, what's on their record? Go ahead. Why is that? Let me tell you why. Because they don't have a past. Now, theoretically, you know, in the mother's womb before I knew that, a baby does not have a record when they come into this world because they don't have a past. And so when a person who is not saved accepts Jesus as their personal Savior, they also have an erased past. Think about it tonight. You mess up, you blow it. God knows I blew it so many times, and I try not to blow it. I may have blown it a couple of times today and didn't even know it, but sometimes I do know it. All that's erased. It's all gone. All my sins are forgiven. That's identity. Identity. And I kind of wish the youth were in here tonight because young people struggle with this more than anything. They need to get their identity straight first, accept Jesus as their Savior, get anchored in Him in the Scriptures, and know if they ever fall, which they will, or stumble or make a bad decision, they don't have to get discouraged about it. They don't have to beat themselves up because they have a new identity and it's in Jesus. They don't have no more sins. They're gone. Of course, Paul deals with not using this grace card as a green card to sin. He says, whenever I sin, grace abounds. He said, well, if I just keep on sinning, more grace. He said, God forbid that I should continue any longer in the life of sin. And I'll just say this, a person who truly accepted Jesus in their heart will not continue, will not habitually continue in a life of sin, a downward spiral. I feel like I got all kinds of rabbits I need to chase. There is the sin unto death. A Christian can ignore the promptings of the Holy Spirit. Hey, come back this way. Repent, get in your Bible, pray, come to church, come on, get back in the group. And if we hush that, we can quench, we can grieve. If we keep on doing that, eventually, according to some places in Scripture, we may get to a place where we're calloused and we can't hear and respond to the Holy Spirit as crisp and sincere as we used to. And then there's the unknown. There's God's deadline. And who knows where God's deadline is at? How far He will allow a prodigal to go before taking them home to an early grave. It's just the mercy of God, the grace of God. All right, we'll bring it back home here to chapter number 20. And so a child that is born, a baby that is born, there's nothing on the record because they don't have a past. In saying that, when the devil brings up your past, you bring up his future. And his future has to do with him being in his own lake of fire. Always remember what you are now. You are crucified. Your sins are gone. And because of that, there's this overflow of love to be better, to go stronger after him and further. Let me mention one more, and we're actually going to bring it to a close tonight. Paul's identity talks about whose he is, what he is, crucified. And now he talks about where he is. What do you mean where he is? Well, he says this middle ways through that verse, "And the life which I now live in the flesh," meaning after salvation, "I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." He's now in the realm of the faith life. It's no longer walk by sight. It's now walk by faith, you see. Before Paul got saved, it was kicking in doors. It was being vicious. It was whatever you see, attack, shoot, everything moving. Not now. Not now. Now it's the faith life. He says, "And the life which I now live," this life, "in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God." He says, "And I do this." It motivates me to walk by faith, live by faith, because he loved me and gave himself for me. A genuine conversion here. This is a true Christian identity. Paul says, "I'll still have struggles, I'll still have trials, I'll still have things I contend with in this flesh, evil inclinations, all of that stuff. I have to buffet myself, hold myself accountable, do things that other people don't normally do so that I can keep myself right with God. And I continue to do that because he loved me and gave himself for me." So Paul talking about identity, where is he? He is now in the realm of faith, not sight. It's all about the faith life. So tonight, it really boils down to this. We are just simply to trust and obey. Trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. And I want to leave you with this thought. Because sometimes the faith life is difficult. If you're praying for a need to be met, my goodness. I've been studying Hezekiah this week. And God willing, I want to bring that on Sunday morning for Father's Day. But the change in administration for him, his dad not following the Lord, being King Ahaz, and now Hezekiah is following the Lord. The Assyrians and everybody was getting ready to attack, and he just turned. He was so burdened, he needed intervention from God. And he just turned to the wall and prayed. And you know that God gave him that victory? God gave him the victory. I believe Hezekiah got angry when the enemy was taunting his God and his walk with God. I believe it caused him to go in tighter with God. And so sometimes the faith life is a struggle, but I wanted to say this in conclusion. If the Father gave his Son, what would he not give? If the Father gave his Son, what would he not give us? If he gave us salvation, and now we're walking this new life of faith, and sometimes we struggle, don't we know God will make sure every need is supplied if we need that need? I say it over and over again. You say it. I've talked to you individually. It's been said since the church age and before probably. But easy preaching, hard living. The solution is simple. Just believe the Lord. But the journey is difficult at times. But at the end of the way, we'll have grown a little bit, matured a little bit, and be ready for the next thing that was down the road. That's the lesson tonight, Paul's identity. Father, we love you. We thank you. God, I thank you for the crowd tonight, our faithful that are here. Lord, I know that there's others that were planning on being here, and God, they were just with the COVID and all. And then, Lord, I know the storm that passed through probably kept a couple home, and that's totally understandable. It's dangerous driving out there. But, Lord, I pray that the words that were said tonight would just find a lodging place in all of our hearts, and that we would realize that our identity is in you. We may struggle with things, but when everything's gone, we're fine. We're still okay because you're our Father. We love you. We thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Anything to mention, add, subtract?